You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Praise the Lord. What an intro, man. I feel embarrassed now, you know. But it's good to see familiar faces out there, you know. Shout out Phil and Irene. And I'm sure there's probably a few more Sun Lifers coming back around Christmas time and we miss them. We don't say good day or we don't get to say hello, so I want to say send them our love. As I was coming out this morning, you guys noticed, you know, the car park, and did you look up at the sky? You know, so, you know, I was really worried that Steve Smith won't make his 300 today. but it's only half the guys laughed, you notice that? Just kidding. If you don't know what's going on, you just Google the ashes. It's very important to this time of the year. It happens once a year, every year somewhere. Anyway, Advent, that's what I'm here for. Focus, Advent, all right? Advent comes from the Latin word, and that means coming. It's the time leading up to Christmas, and traditionally in church history, the Advent's actually quite a serious time, you know. It's very, you know, it's to remember and prepare to just have a time of preparation as a church to remember the birth of Jesus. But also the second coming of Christ, because that's actually the time, if you look in church history, we set apart a serious time to remember the coming of Christ. However, nowadays our perspective has become a little bit more like this. Oh yeah. I'm sure you guys are right in the thick of it right now. It's all about perspective, isn't it? Perspective. Same Christmas, but totally different perspective. So, life taught me a very funny lesson once about perspective. And you can nudge your neighbor and tell him, you know, hey, this is a true story. Go on, just do that. It's a true story. So, many years ago, when I was training to be a doctor, I was training in this clinic, and what would happen was because I was the new kid, right, they put me right at the end of the corridor in this tiny little room, which I reckon used to be a storeroom, but hey, who knows? And it was hot and poorly ventilated. It was cramped, and I would sit there, and everything's just right next to me. I couldn't really swivel my chair, and a patient would have to come in next to me and put up with me, right? And so it's hard when you first start working, you're trying to get everything right, you know, you learned all this stuff from the books and now you're going to try and put it in real life and you're dealing with people and they're so unpredictable, and I'd go to work every day and I'd sit there and I'd see patients. And I remember this one hot summer day, this big mama came in and she was angry. She wasn't very nice either. And she sat down there, and she was just going this and complaining that and asking about this and telling this. And I'm trying to be professional. I'm trying to be professional here, church. And I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to smile. And I'm trying to go through my doctoring stuff and do my job right. And I'm just working hard. And she just, you know, bang, 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 and this, that. And then suddenly she stops me and she goes, "And you know something, doc?" And I say, "Yeah, go on." "You got bad breath." So, give me a second, guys. Ah, wow. Yeah, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's start a sermon. Yeah. Yes. It's hilarious, isn't it? You see, from my perspective, I was trying to be professional and put up with this lady. And from her perspective, she was trying to be putting up with my bad breath. Isn't life quite funny sometimes? What's your perspective on Christmas this year? Maybe some of us, we're all busy with Christmas presents and we're planning this big Christmas dinner, you know, nothing wrong with that. Or some of us, we're counting down the days to our Christmas holidays, and you've got this lovely holiday plan. You got your plane tickets, your passports, you're half packed, you're ready to go. Okay, just don't tell your boss. Or maybe Christmas might not be such a nice time for you after all. Maybe this Christmas there's going to be some hardship. Or maybe somebody you care for, they're going through a hard time. Or maybe this Christmas might be a little bit lonely, a little bit cold, a little bit quiet. Whatever your perspective is for Christmas, I mean, it's sometimes a very mixed time, isn't it? What about God's perspective on Christmas? I mean, this whole Christmas thing is His idea anyway, isn't it? What's God's perspective on Christmas? I think this morning I'd just like us to take a few minutes from our busy schedules, our big plans, and just maybe look up a little bit and just try and see what is God's perspective on Christmas. I believe that God really loves us and God has a plan for you and He's got a word for you. And I believe that this morning if we just take that moment to look up to Him, He will speak to us. And you know, we actually get a very intimate look at Christmas from God's perspective in our scripture reading this morning. We're going to look at four verses that will give us 4 points. And it's from Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. Some of us know this story. We've seen it many times. Let's look at the Bible reading. We'll just read a little bit before and after these four verses in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. That is the reading for this morning. Let us pray, guys. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us your word and you speak to us through your word. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Change our lives in your name. Amen. Wow. So let's just focus on the four verses in the middle, and I'm going to give you the 4 points now and we'll go through them, okay? But let me just give you 4 verses. So in these 4 verses, we see God's perspective of Christmas, okay? So remember, we want to try and see Christmas through God's eyes. What is His version of things, Christmas itself? The first point is God is good. The second point is God loves you. The third one is that God has a plan for you. And lastly, God is greater. In 4 verses, the angel gives Mary and us an idea of what God wants Christmas to be. Are you ready for that? Okay, let's go to the first one. God is good. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Now, that's a strange statement for the angel to say, isn't it? Don't you think? Or maybe not. Let's think about it, all right? I mean, the context. God has not spoken to His people for 400 years. And the first time He breaks His silence, He sends this angel to speak on His behalf. And the angel says, Don't be scared. Maybe it's because it's been so long that God's people have forgotten him. Maybe they haven't heard from God for so long, it's like getting that random text from that long lost friend. You're just a little bit, whoa, I wasn't expecting you to send me a message. Just before in verse 29 it says that Mary was greatly troubled. Why is that? I guess I'd be troubled too if an angel just appeared out of nowhere. And, you know, it was probably bright, it was probably awesome, it was probably huge. And you know, how do you react to that? So I guess the natural reaction would be fear. Who is this angel? What does this angel want from me? What is an angel? What am I doing here? Am I good enough for this? Maybe they got the wrong house. I don't know. But I guess God knows. God knows, and God knew to address this fear. Do not be afraid. Why? Why not be afraid? Because God is good. Mary, you don't have to be afraid of the angel because this angel is from God. And God is good. God's nature is good. God's purpose is good. God's intention is good. God won't harm you. God won't hurt you. So, yes, we don't know what this angel wants. He's just turned up. It's terrifying. But don't be afraid because God is good. If it comes from God, it has to be good. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, and who does not change like shifting shadows. Notice here that James compares God's goodness to light, which is pure and consistent. You guys get that? It means that God's goodness can be relied upon, that it's solid, it does not change. It's like standing in the bright sunlight. You know, the sunlight is constant, it covers you, it's pure, and it warms you up. Not like the shadow that we get down here. This shadow keeps changing. This shadow doesn't stay the same. The shadow shifts all the time. Most of the time, we try to be good. We try to be good to our wives, our husbands, to our kids, to our friends, our colleagues. But our goodness is not constant. It shifts. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get impatient. And then sometimes I raise my voice like this. It happens. It's not constant. But that's not God's love. That's not God's good nature. God's good nature is constant all the time. Do not be afraid. Do you think this was helpful for Mary? Yeah, can I get a few nods out there? I think this is what Mary needed to hear. Do you think? What about us, church? Do we need to hear this too? Maybe it's your first time in church and you're just trying to figure out this whole God thing. Let me tell you something, friend. God is good. Or maybe you've been coming to church for a bit, but maybe you've got a worry. Maybe you've got a problem. Let me tell you something, friend. God is good. A few years back, I was walking our little baby back in the stroller. Just dropped off his brother to school, walking with another dad home, you know, dad time. We're just walking the stroller. And out of the corner of our eyes, we see these two cats under this tree. Not quite this tree, but you get the idea. And they were like, all just looking up, ready to pounce. They're just silent, hunting. And then suddenly went bang, bang, bang. Both cats just straight up. Big commotion, bushes, bang, 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 bang. And then a little bird just falls straight down onto the ground. And as two good dads that we were, we just rushed straight there, chased the cats away, and just picked up this bird. But this little bird was flapping its wings, and it was squawking, and all carrying on. It was terrified. How I wish I could get down there and say to the little birdie in bird language, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what God is saying about Christmas? Sometimes that's us, with that little bird, just, oh my gosh, two cats, now two huge people thing. Do not be afraid, because God is good. Some of us, in our own lives, we're probably reacting to God with some fear. Some of us, we've walked with God for a while. And even so, right here, right now, you probably just trying to figure out God. Because walking with God sometimes brings fear. Because we're not sure what God is doing. And we don't know what's coming next. And that's the time, like the lights going off. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen. But I'm not going to be afraid because I know God is good. But we need faith sometimes, faith that the light will come back on, but also faith to overcome this fear, don't we? There you go. What an object lesson in faith. My gosh. But faith like Mary, to say, God, I don't know what you've got for me next. I'm fearful, but I'm going to put my faith in you. And I know I can put my faith in you for big decisions in life, with my family, with my work, with my money, because you are good. And God will do good by you, because He's good. He can be trusted. He will speak, He will deliver, He will protect. But some of us, we haven't walked with God before. And we're not sure about this whole God thing. And some of us, we come to church and we're trying to figure it out. But let me just say to you, friend, you can trust this God, because God is good. He's showing you and He's telling you this morning that you can trust Him because He is good. So from God's perspective, the first thing He wants us to know about Christmas is that He is good. Don't be afraid, because through Christmas, God brings good to you and to this world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next point. So the next thing that Gabriel tells Mary is that she has found favor with God. What is favor? Favor is the root word for the word favorite. Why did Mary find favor with God? Mary was neither rich nor talented. Mary did not have a great standing in the community. She was not perfect, and she didn't do anything great. The answer is actually in the previous verse. God found favor in Mary because God is good. God's nature and purpose is good. His natural reaction to Mary is to favor and love her. In fact, God loves all of us, no matter who we are. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, whatever you've done in the past, whatever you're doing right now, whatever you do in the future, God loves you because God is good. Remember, He is constant and His love is constant. John 3:16, for God so love the world. Can you see that God loved the world? Can you see that God loved the world? It wasn't because, oh, Mike did good today, so God will love him. God just loved me. Mary, she didn't do good that day. God just loved her. For God so loved the world. How much does God love me? He loves me enough to send His one and only Son, Jesus. So that through the first Christmas, God can change our lives. This love starts from God. So the natural reaction we can only give back to God is to receive and believe in Jesus Christ. God loved you and me first, not the other way around. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's love? That He loves us no matter what. There's an old Sunday school song, and like James, I will not sing it for you, but you might know it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is? Yeah, you know this one. But there's another verse to this song that most of us don't know. And it's actually, in fact, for me, probably the verse that I most like. It's such a simple song, but it's just one verse that captures how safe and beautiful God's love is for me. It goes like this. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. But Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. I don't know about you, but I need this verse in my life. I need to know that God will love me even when I'm bad. Even if things are all falling apart around me, I need to know that God's love is there for me. Because church, that is God's grace. That God loved Mary out of his goodness. That God loves you and me when we do good and even when we do bad. Do you want to see God's love? It's Christmas. From God's perspective, he wants us to see that Christmas is his way of showing us his unconditional, uncompromising love for you and me through Jesus Christ. Yes, we still need to deal with those bad things in our lives, okay? We still need to deal with that. So how does God deal with it? He sends Jesus. And Jesus would climb onto this cross and take all our bad things so that we will be clean, we will be pure, and we can continue loving Jesus. That if he died on that cross and on that third day, he rose up to overcome all these bad things. So if we ask Jesus to come into our lives and we say sorry, then we can start fresh with God. So God's given us that solution for the bad things we've done. If you haven't said sorry to Jesus yet, it's still okay. Because God still loves you, remember? God still loves you no matter what. But maybe today, if you are hearing for the first time this simple message of God's love for you, then I'm going to give you a chance to respond to it later. Because maybe God is telling you something this morning. Maybe God is telling you today is the day you say sorry, you come good with me, and we walk this new life together. And if you have already received Jesus into your life, if you've already said that sorry to him, then be free. Rest in his love. Be free to receive God's love. Because Christmas is God's way to say that he loves you. You guys get that? Praise the Lord. So the third thing that Gabriel tells Mary after these first two points is that she's going to conceive, she's going to give birth to a son, and she's going to name him Jesus. Do you know what Jesus means? It's the Greek translation for the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. That's a very specific plan. You see, if God is good and God loved Mary, then you would expect God to have a specific plan for Mary, don't you? Isn't that just the natural reaction, the next step? Because God is good, and because he loves you, then guess what? God has a plan for you too. So the third point is that God has a plan for you. If you love someone, you will make a plan for them. In Jeremiah 29:11, next slide please. God speaks to the Israelites. This is a very difficult time in the history of the Israelites. And God speaks to them through the prophet Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Can you see that God's plan will always prosper you and will never harm you? Sometimes this plan might be hard or even seem impossible. Notice the verse doesn't say that God's plan is easy. But God's plan will always give us hope and a future. Isn't it awesome that God's got our backs? That God is not going to just let our lives bounce around like some random ball in this journey of life. That He's already got a plan for everything in your life. That His plan is full of hope and prosperity. Where are we on God's plan this morning? Maybe you're a little bit like Mary. Maybe you're not sure what is God's plan for your life right now. Or maybe you started well and you've been traveling on God's plan. But right now you feel you've lost your way a little bit. Maybe this morning God is speaking to you to reconnect, to challenge you to reconnect to His plan. My wife and I, we've got three kids, all right? And as parents, we have a plan for these guys. You know, every day there's a plan. It's the time to wake up, you brush your teeth, you get changed, you have your breakfast, you go to school or you go to daycare or it's school holidays right now. And we have, you know, lessons for them and you have, you know, they love that screen, the iPads and stuff. We try and put a limit on that. That's part of the plan. You know, there's dinner time, there's activity time, there's bath time and sleep time and all sorts of, it's all planned. If you ask me or my wife, you can quiz us separately and you say for this second child, third child, on this day, at what time, what's the plan for them? We'll hopefully give you the same answer, but we have a plan, all right? And there's a plan for them for the future as well, all right? And, you know, all you parents out there, yeah, you're nodding here, you got plans for your kids as well. You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't have plans for these other kids because, you know why? They're not my kids, okay? But every parent will have a plan for their kids. Because why? Because we love them. Because we love them. And guess what? God has a plan for you as well. Why? Because you are His children. Yep. God had a specific plan for Mary to make the first Christmas happen. And God has a specific plan for you every Christmas that comes along. Why? Because God loves you, because God is good. Amen? So what does this mean to me? It means you can look up to God for His perfect plan for your life. You can be sure that God has a greater purpose for your life, that He cares about the small things as well as the big things in your life. Maybe today you're looking for this plan. Maybe you're looking for a little bit of guidance or confirmation. Trust me, friend. God will speak to you and He will show you the way. From God's perspective, Christmas is about showing us His good and perfect plan for our lives. Amen? So far we've seen the angel Gabriel talk to Mary and give her, number one, the first point that God is good, number two, that God loves you, and number three, that God has a plan for your life. And now He gives her point number four. God is greater. The angel tells Mary that God's plan for her, the baby Jesus, He will be great. Can you see that? He will be great. Jesus is no ordinary baby. First of all, Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Can you see that? Jesus is the Son of the Most High, which means He's the Son of God. He was conceived supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, the child of the woman Mary, but also the child of God Almighty, the greatness of God in the form of a man. Secondly, the angel talks about the past. He talks about the past that Jesus will inherit the throne of His father David, which means Jesus has the history and the royal lineage from King David. So Jesus is greater than the past because everything in history was leading up to His birth. You know, in fact, when Jesus was born, the Bible scholars think that there were about 353 historical biblical prophecies that came through because of Jesus Christ. So everything that happened in history was leading up to Jesus. Then the last point that the angel says to Mary is about the future. Can you see that? Talks about the future, that Jesus will reign. Jesus will reign and His kingdom will never end. So Jesus is great in the past, the present, and the future. His authority, his greatness, and his rule will carry on to the future and forevermore. Isn't that awesome? Don't we serve a great God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he has won the victory? That is what Christmas is about. So what the angel is really telling Mary is that God, in sending Jesus, has given us the greatest solution of all. That if we have Jesus in our hearts, we have the greatest solution in our hearts. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. Jesus in you is greater than our worries. It's greater than our problems. It's greater than our health. It's greater than our work or our wealth. Greater than our sins and greater than all our relationships. He is the solution to everything. I remember a while back when I just saw this glimpse of God's greatness. I was working one day and I met this lovely lady from New Zealand, and I had to do this procedure on her foot. So it was taking a while, and you know, we got talking. And I found out a little bit more about her. So her story is that she moved from New Zealand to Perth because one night in New Zealand, her older son had a car crash and he died. And it wrecked her and her family, her husband, the siblings. And they couldn't take it that he would die so young. So to try and move on, they decided as a family to move to Perth and start a new life. But she was still carrying so much pain and so much guilt. And I remember at that time, she wasn't sleeping well. You know, there was stress that crept into her relationship with her husband, and she felt she couldn't parent well. And she had trouble at work, she was a cleaner, and things just weren't going well. So in moments like this, I always ask God, you know, what do we do next? And I asked her if she had a faith to help her through a time like that. And she said yes, she used to go to church back in New Zealand, but it kind of stopped when they came to Perth. And I say, hey, I go to church too, and, you know, I have my ups and downs, I have my own problems and pain as well, but, you know, God is good, God still loves us. You know, maybe today you can reconnect back to Him, because who else is going to help you? And she said, yes. That's a good idea. And I said, well, let's, you know, maybe we'll pray together or something. And we prayed. And I said, well, do you want to, maybe you find a church, you know, because, you know, you need to get connected back to a community and everything. And she was open to that. And I said, that's awesome. I've got some brochures in my drawer in my room. I can just duck out there and get it, bring it back. Because like a few years back, I met this lovely Christian pastor, husband and wife team, and they had a church that was close to where I worked. It was far away from here, and so I thought, well, I'll just send you along to a church that's just close by, right? And so she said, yep. So I ducked off, got the brochures, and I came back, and I handed it to her, and I said, yeah, this is the church, and, you know, it's got an address and everything. And then she just started breaking down. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? So she started crying and sobbing, and I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, this verse on the brochure. I said, what about it? That's the verse we engraved on my son's tombstone. And I was shocked. True story, I was shocked. I was shocked that, you know, sometimes, to be honest, in these situations, I feel like, wow, God's doing something awesome here. But I was just shocked that this verse, and I can't remember it to this day, honestly, like, it's such an uncommon verse. It's not even a common verse that you would hear in a sermon or see on brochures. It was such an uncommon verse, but God was speaking to her. God loved her so much. God had a plan for this lady that he would speak to her through this verse on that day, through this obscure verse, to remind her that, hey, you know, I have seen your pain, I have seen your path, I have seen your problems, but I've got a plan for you. That he would speak to her in such an intimate and purposeful way, and I was blown away. Isn't God good? Isn't God full of love? And friends, isn't God's plan awesome? God's ways are always greater than what I think should be the right way. And God's greatness was, you know, I was sure that God was going to get her through all her pains and problems. If she got back onto God's plan and got connected to Jesus again, I'm so confident that God would just help her through, and his greatness would overcome any pain and any problem that she had. Church, what about us this morning? Do we have pains or problems in our own lives? God is greater than that. Or maybe you have a good life and lots of success, but you know what? God is greater than that as well. From God's perspective, Christmas is his way to give you something greater. That this greatness is found in Jesus Christ, that God has a greater solution and a greater purpose for our lives. So I'm going to close up here, and I just want you to maybe just reflect a little bit. That, you know, we've seen Christmas from so many different perspectives this week. But this morning, I hope you see Christmas from God's perspective. In that interaction between Gabriel and Mary, we see God's perspective on Christmas. We see God revealing his heart and his purpose for us. We see that God is good. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And God is greater. So, friends, this so-called festive holiday season, what is your perspective on Christmas? Remember, after we look into the Word of God, it's always good to look up, to see all this from God's perspective, instead of getting stuck in our own little perspectives. Some of us really need to see God's perspective for Christmas. And now that you've seen it, what are you going to do about it? And I've been walking with Jesus for many years now, and this year was a tough year. I have to be very honest. I've had a tough year, and there are probably more downs than ups. And as we were preparing for this morning, I thank God that he showed us his perspective. You know, it's so reassuring and comforting at the same time to know that God's perspective of Christmas has not changed. Some of us have had a big year, or maybe a bad year. But let's end this year well. Let's end this year well, and, you know, maybe we're just going to have a quiet time right now. I'm just going to give you some time with God, and maybe some of us need to do some business with God. Some of us need to just say some things to him and just get some things out there. So I'm going to give you some privacy. I'm just going to lead us in the time of quiet prayer. You know, bow your heads or close your eyes, wherever you like. Like, God is here, man. And, you know, God is good. And God loves you and it's God's plan for you. And whatever that you're thinking about right now, God is greater than that. Remember that. God is greater than that. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you came in the first Christmas and things are never the same after that. Thank you, Lord, that God, you sent your angel to speak to Mary, but Lord, this morning you are speaking to every one of us as well. That through all these Christmas dinners and parties and to-do lists and shopping and preparation and planning and time off and finishing up work, Lord, just help us see your perspective again. Help us get back to the heart of Christmas, to your heart. Your heart gave birth to Christmas. Your heart gave us Jesus. I'm just going to pray for those, some of us who we've walked with Jesus for a long time, and this morning you need to hear this. You need to hear that God still loves you, that He's still good, that He's still going to keep His plan for you, and that He's going to be greater than any challenge you're facing right now. And if you want to respond to Him, you want to ask Him to speak, you want to ask Him to fill you with His love, you want Him to show you His greatness in your life, just put your hand up and just say something in your heart to Jesus. It's between you and God. It's going to give you time to just make that peace. Just respond to Him. If you feel that calling in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit right now knocking on your heart. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray, Lord, that you would just show them your goodness, show them your love, show them your plan, show them your greatness. Thank you, Jesus. And some of us here, we're still figuring out this whole God thing, and if it's your first time and you've heard this story about Jesus, that He loves us so much and that He would climb on that cross to take away our sins but still rise 3 days later to overcome it, and you want to say sorry and respond to Jesus, respond to Him. And if you want to put your hand up, I will pray for you. It's your opportunity to say, Jesus, I've heard of your goodness. I've heard of your love. I heard you've got a plan. I heard you are great. And if you want to respond to that, put your hand up. That's great. Lord, I just pray for all of us here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you're just doing a wonderful work in our midst. That Christmas is not just some marketing phenomenon, Lord. That Christmas is real. Lord, I pray for your goodness to flood us all, your love to just drench us with your awesome love. And Lord, I just pray that you just set a plan before us for the rest of this year, for 2018. And Lord, I pray your greatness will manifest in our lives everywhere we go, in every sphere of influence, every community we're part of, Lord, that your greatness will shine through. Will shine through. We thank you, Jesus. We receive this. We thank you. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, Amen.